vulnerability, capable of being physically or emotionally wounded, open to attack or damage. We as Christians are under constant attack from the enemy. We become vulnerable moment to moment. Thank Jesus for his grace. This doesn't come as a surprise to any of us. As the phrase goes, we're only human. But we are way more than that, and I feel that this phrase is kind of a cop-out. Jesus paying the price for our sins makes us his in every way, friends and citizens to God. He supplies us with an all-access pass to the heavenly realms and equips us with whatever we need to get us through those vulnerable times. We just need to recognize that fact. Colossians 1, 10 through 14. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. How amazing is this, God? How amazing is God to grant us this access? Have we used his tools? Have we put on his armor? And lastly, but most important, have we drawn from the Holy Spirit our living water? The way I see the world, people are parched and need a drink, and who better to give it to them but children of God, overflowing with the Holy Spirit? We are his vessels, and I know that some may be thinking, oh, if I pray, the Lord will do his will. But what if his will is to use you, his vessel, filled with the living water, to express his love to them by an act of kindness or some other act of unselfishness brought about by the Holy Spirit? I believe vulnerability plays a huge part in whether or not we act or not. James 2:26, as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. As we continue in this message, the Lord put it upon my heart to talk about being prepared for battle and what it is to actually put on his full armor. So let's talk about armor. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Roman soldiers put on all this armor when preparing for battle. Why did Paul start with the belt? The belt, known as the cingulum or battius, played a huge and crucial role in the effectiveness of a soldier's armor. It was the belt that held the scabbard, without which there would be no place to put a sword. Imagine a soldier fired up and consequently without a weapon. The belt also hung down strips of leather to protect the lower body. The belt also secures all the other pieces of armor. Jesus, our way, truth, and life, should cleave to us as a belt that cleaves to our body. John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test all things, hold fast to what is good. And Acts 17:11, now the Bereans were more of a noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true. If we are not convinced that our principles and beliefs are 100% true, how can we expect to accomplish anything for God? Proverbs 3, 3 and 4, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. A belt embraces us. Does our conviction to the truth embrace us also? Truth must be bound around us and written on our hearts to be that outward expression. The belt used in the Roman armor provided a place for the soldier's sword. Our sword, the sword of the Spirit, likewise needs a sheath. Truth is vital because like a Roman soldier's belt, it allows us to carry the sword of the Spirit and use it effectively. Greg was teaching the youth about this a few weeks ago. What do we say when people ask you what the gospel is? It's good news. It's the truth about God, the Father, and His Son, and the Holy Spirit. Luke 12:35-37. Be dressed, ready for service, keep your lamps burning. Like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given when Jesus Christ is revealed. What are the dangers of not wearing the belt, or what if a segment was missing? The belt would be useless. We have to agree without partiality 100% of what the Bible says. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We can't live a life that we don't completely agree with. Our trust in God and His Word must be solid without break, or else we will quickly find ourselves without a weapon, no matter how effective the rest of our armor is. We are useless without our sword, knowing what we believe and why. The second part of the armor of God is the breastplate. I'm going in the order Paul wrote it out. They're all important, but I understand why Paul wrote it in this order. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, pertaining to our first segment. The breastplate was the central part of the Roman soldier's armor. It provided protection for the torso, which contains vital organs, like the heart, lungs, etc. Without a breastplate, a soldier would be asking for death, as any attack could instantly become fatal. With a sturdy breastplate, the same attacks become ineffective and useless as blows glance off the armor. Why is the breastplate of righteousness so important to us as believers? Proverbs 11:4. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. The Lord's righteousness protects us from death. We, as His righteous servants, are blameless in His sight because of Jesus laying His life down for us. Without His righteousness protecting us, the arrows from this life would send us straight to where we don't want to be. It allows us to have compassion on others when they do us wrong or are in a situation that the Lord got us out of. His righteousness is a reminder to have that compassion because He forgave us. 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Isaiah 32:17. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. Jeremiah 23:26. In his day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. Ezekiel 33:13. If I tell the righteous man that he will surely live, but then he trusts in his righteousness and does evil, none of the righteous things he has done will be remembered. He will die for the evil he has done. It is only Jesus that brings us that righteousness with his act of love for us being crucified on the cross. He and only he brings us that protection and safety. Now onto the shoes. The caligae, or shoes that the Roman military wore, were worn by all ranks, including centurions. No other shoes in history are as symbolic of the expansion of an empire as the caligae. They resembled a sandal, but were actually marching boots. The shoes actually made it so the Romans were able to travel farther and provide sufficient protection to be able to conquer the other tribes and countries. Can you imagine being in a battle without your shoes? So the last thing you would want to worry about is where you step. Romans 10:14-20. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. And then Luke 10:19-20. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The gospel is so important to us. It really does give us that peace and confidence when we are fully engaged in reading and studying his good news. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And then Isaiah 9:6-7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And 1 John 2:6, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. He wants us to share his good news. That peace that he gives us through his good news will draw others to the Lord. Isaiah predicts this in Isaiah 2:2-5. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chiefs among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The Roman shield, the scutum, was not the standard medievalesque shield most picture in their minds. It was very large, slightly curved rectangular shield featuring at its center a large metal knob called a boss. The scutum was a perfect line of defense because of its size. Some were 3 feet tall. Soldiers had a lot of protection from their enemies. Because of its slight curve, it was able to deflect attacks without transferring the full force of the assault to the man holding the shield. Because of its boss, it was able to deflect even the most hardest of blows and work offensively, knocking an opponent backward. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Ephesians 2:8-10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has work for us, but in return we must be ready to do his work effectively. While a physical shield protects us physically, faith can protect our spiritual lives in the middle of physical trials, just like what Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel went through. The enemy is always hurling fiery darts of fear, doubt, and worry in our direction, but the only time they can hit us is when our shield of faith is down. That is when we stop believing God is in control. Romans 8:24-25, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. This is faith. Consider Peter when he asked Jesus, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. When Jesus said, come, he walked out onto the water to go to Jesus. But the wind and waves were a distraction to him, and he took his eyes off Jesus and started to sink and cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? The shield is the first line of defense, while the rest of our armor helps protect us from the enemy's onslaught. When our faith is strong, it is impossible for the enemy to break through our shield. The Lord showed me to pray for faith, and he gives it to me when doubt sets in. And it is said in James, as it is said in James earlier, earlier in the message, because God tells us that faith cannot just be in our minds, it must produce works of obedience and service. A shield can push back our enemy in times of temptation. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we were, yet was without sin. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And then the helmet of salvation. What was the use of it as part of the Roman armor? The Roman helmet, like helmets today, protected the head from attacks from the enemy. There is some evidence that the Romans had special ceremonial helmets used in parades that showed rank and standing. Salvation means to be saved or delivered. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Romans 5:8-10, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It is really important to know that salvation cannot be earned. It is a gift from God, not something that we get from actions, obligating God to give it to us. God's judgment is death to sinners, bottom line. But in his mercy, he sent his son to die in our place. Like Jesus says in Matthew, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. His salvation is a gift. Ephesians 2:4. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8-11, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as the helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we should live together with him. Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. This hope in Jesus acts like a helmet, comforting our minds from the discouragement and despair in this world. John 17:15-16. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one, that they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. The enemy hates that we have chosen this path of Christ and will stop at nothing to try to destroy us. The helmet protects the head from vital blows, just as salvation can protect our thoughts from the enemy's attacks and temptations to disobey God. Without the helmet of salvation, we would be unprotected from the cares of this world that take over our thoughts and feelings. Imagine not knowing what our future ultimately held. The worries and problems of this world would overwhelm us. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Paul considers his salvation as this, and could say this with complete confidence. 2 Timothy 4:6-8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The sword, and what purpose it served as part of the Roman armor. The Roman gladius is known as the sword that conquered the world. It was from a Spanish design. The power of the gladius in close-range combat made it an effective tool in the hand of a skilled Roman soldier. When sharpened, it had two edges. Its tapered point could pierce through even the heavy metal armor. Paul lists the sword as the only actual weapon in the Christian's arsenal. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word reveals the truth, good and bad, wise and unwise, and it is the ultimate tool in learning how to live the best possible life free from darkness while in Christ. John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. And Hosea 4:6. But we will be blessed if we hear and keep the word of God. What happens when we don't? Destruction. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing soul, or to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When our sword is used, nothing can stop its ability to cut straight to the core of the matter and uncover the truth. And as soldiers of God, God's army, it's our responsibility and duty to use his word to discern the truth and follow it. 2 Corinthians 4:5. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every petition that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The sword is used for offense and defense. Matthew 4:4. When Jesus counterattacked Satan, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." There is no enemy that the word of God brought about by the Spirit it cannot defeat. So armed with his word, our sword, we can fight enemies head on. This struggle is real and is in front of us. Matthew 24:13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. we still battle daily knowing that His Word is truth, and He promises, and His promises will be fulfilled in the end. Isaiah 46, 10 and 11. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey from far off land, from a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said that I will bring about, what I have planned that I will do. And finally, prayer. No matter how complete the armor is, and no matter how skilled we are at using it, without prayer we will be defeated. I know this is true in a worldly sense. If I don't communicate with my employees, my whole store falls apart, and things just don't get done. And likewise with my employees, I encourage them to tell me what they need to get the job done. Can you imagine in battle, if a soldier didn't communicate with his commander, he would have no idea what to do, or worse, take it upon himself to do his own thing. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Paul tells us in Romans 8:26 and 27, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that the words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. This is awesome. No matter how awful or clumsy our prayer is, God always knows what we are trying to say, because He has full knowledge of our hearts and minds. As it says in verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And how and what should we be praying for? I always look to the Lord's Prayer and some of the other prayers He prayed, like in Matthew 26:39. He went a little farther and fell on His face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will. It's okay to pray for ourselves along with praying for others. Paul tells us to pray for all the saints, not just a few. Luke 21:36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And now probably the hardest one to do, Matthew 5:44 and 45. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And to conclude, God's armor is very important to us as Christians here on earth. We are in the midst of battles between principalities daily and need that strength of every part of His armor to go into this daily battle. 1 Samuel 17:38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a large bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. See, David chose to use God as his armor and protection. Everything David chose to do sums up this entire message. He knew God was the one true God. He knew that God was a righteous God and would deliver him. He was showing the Philistines his God's power against Goliath, thus spreading the news about God. He told Goliath what he would ultimately do to him, even though he hadn't done it yet, shield of faith. And who was his ultimate salvation? God, the same Lord who delivered David from the paw of the lion and the bear and the hands of Goliath. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Psalm 24:8, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle.